Chapter 5. It was nearly 7 when I returned. As I reached the vicarage gate, it opened and Lawrence Redding came out. He was shaking all over.
"Hello," I said. "Sorry I was out. Come back. I've got to see Protheroe, but we won't be long."
"Protheroe," he began to laugh. "Oh, you'll see Protheroe all right. Oh, yes."
Worried, I stretched out a hand towards him.
"No,"
he shouted.
"I've got to get away. I've got to think."
And he began to run down the road. I went on into the vicarage. The front door is always open. But I rang the bell, and Mary answered it.
"Is Colonel Protheroe here?" I asked her.
"He has been here since 6:15.
"And Mr. Redding has been here?"
"He came a few minutes ago. I told him you would be back soon, and that Colonel Protheroe was waiting in the study. He said he'd wait too. He's in there now."
"No, he isn't," I said. "I've just met him outside."
"Well, he can't have stayed more than 2 minutes.
I went down the passage and opened the study door. I took a few steps across the room and then stopped. I couldn't understand what was in front of me. Colonel Protheroe was lying across my desk. There was a pool of some dark liquid by his head, and it was dripping onto the floor. I went across to him. His skin was cold. The man was dead, shot through the head. I called Mary, and I ordered her to run and fetch Dr. Haydock. Haydock is a big man with an honest face. When he arrived, he bent over Colonel Protheroe and examined him. Then he looked at me.
"He's dead. He's been dead for 30 minutes, I think."
"Suicide?"
"No. Look at the position of the wound.
And where's the weapon?
I'd better call the police."
He picked up the telephone and gave the facts as simply as possible.
"Is it murder?" I asked.
"Looks like it."
"There's one rather strange thing," I said. "This afternoon, I was asked to go to a dying man. But when I got there, everyone was very surprised. The man was much better, and his wife said she had not telephoned me."
"So, someone wanted to get you out of the vicarage," Haydock said.
"Where's your wife?"
"Gone up to London for the day."
"And the servant?"
"In the kitchen, at the other side of the house."
"Where she wouldn't hear anything that went on in the study. Who knew that Protheroe was coming here this evening?"
"He mentioned it this morning in the village, very loudly as usual."
"So, everyone knew."
There was the sound of feet in the passage outside. Then the door opened.
"Good evening, gentlemen. I'm Constable Hurst. The inspector will be here soon. Until then, I will ask the questions."
He took out his notebook. I repeated my story of discovering the body. Then he turned to the doctor.
"In your opinion, Dr. Haydock, what was the cause of death?"
"Shot through the head."
"And the weapon?"
"I can't be sure until we get the bullet out, but it was probably a small pistol. Say, a Mauser .25?
I suddenly remembered the conversation last night, and Lawrence Redding telling us he had a Mauser. Hurst asked Dr. Haydock,
"When, in your opinion, did the death happen?"
He has been dead just over half an hour, I think. Certainly not longer.
At this moment, Inspector Slack arrived. I've never met a man more different from his name. He was not just very energetic, but also extremely rude and bossy. Inspector Slack took his constable's notebook, read it, and strode over to the body. Then he looked at the things on the desk and examined the blood.
"Ah," he said. "When he fell forward, the clock was pushed over and it stopped. That will give us the time of the crime. 6:22. What time did you say he died, Doctor?"
"I said about half an hour, but..."
The inspector looked at his watch.
7:05. I heard about it 10 minutes ago, at 7:05. Discovery of the body was at about 7:15, and if you examined it at 2:10, why, that brings it to the same second almost."
I had been trying to speak.
"About the clock. Sir, I'll ask you any questions I want to know. Time is short. What I want is silence."
"Yes, but I'd like to tell you..."
"Silence!" said the inspector.
So I gave him what he asked for. He was still looking at the desk.
"Hello, what's this?"
He held up a piece of notepaper. At the top was written 6:20. "Dear Clement," it began, "sorry I cannot wait any longer, but I must..." Here the writing ended.
"It's obvious," said Inspector Slack. "He sits down to write this, an enemy comes in through the glass door and shoots him."
"I'd just like to tell..." I began.
"Out of the way, sir. I want to see if there are footprints."
He moved towards the open window.
"I think you ought to know," I said.
The inspector turned.
"Now, gentlemen, will you please get out of here?"
We allowed ourselves to be pushed out like children.
"Well," said Haydock, "when that bossy little man wants me, you can send him over to the surgery. Goodbye."
Then Mary came to tell me that Griselda was back. So I went to the sitting room and told her everything. Finally, I said, "The letter is headed 6:20, and the clock fell over and has stopped at 6:22.
"Yes," said Griselda. "But didn't you tell him that the study clock was always kept 1/4 hour ahead?"
"No," I said. "He wouldn't let me."
"But Len," Griselda said, "that is extraordinary, because when that clock said 6:20, it was really only 5 minutes past, and at 5 minutes past, I don't suppose Colonel Protheroe had even arrived at the house."